Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Mark, and we're in chapter 1. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Those little foxes running around in your life, you got to deal with them on your own. You need to earn your spurs by beating the devil and saying, I'm with Jesus and I'm going with him. And there's going to be battles and setbacks. That little city called Ai, it was just a small one. Well, they whooped the people of Israel. Just a little fox. Watch. Be careful. What the Bible says in verse 26, it says, after he says, come out of him, it says, and the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice and came out of him. So he had to listen to the king. King's on site. King says, you go, you got to go. But he was belligerent. I want you to know the devil's belligerent. He'll make you think foul things about God, and he'll make you think foul things about everybody around you. Do you know we're all sinners? And we may get in a loop sometimes, but, you know, reality is the devil would like you to be suspicious about everybody. And we have to learn the grace of forgiveness and the grace of apology. But here he's saying that this belligerent demon tore the man as he came out of him. It's like slamming the door. I'll go. And threw the guy on the ground. You can see it. What a day at church that was. Well, we see him calling. And they were astonished by his doctrine. But now it says in verse 27... they were all amazed. Now they're amazed. Okay, it was pretty good teaching, but now this is getting real. Don't you love it when your faith gets real? When Jesus really shows up? I mean, it could happen more for us. We were studying in Sunday school this morning. Paul says, you know, I have not yet apprehended, but I want to know him and the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus. He wanted to know him in his day-to-day experience. When you put one foot in the Jordan and it splits, you're like, woohoo, this is cool. When the three Hebrews, through fear and trepidation, said, we will not bow down, O King. We know our God can deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down. They threw him into a stoked furnace, and they looked, and there were not three, there were four men in the fire. Listen, Jesus is in the fire. We like to be around the fireplace. We don't want to be in the fire. But it's in the fire you're going to find Jesus. And when you get in over your head, he does show up. Well, the Bible says that the doctrine was huge. Verse 21, he mentions they were astonished at his doctrine. And we also see in verse 27, that in so much of this question, saying, what thing is this and what new doctrine? You see, it's truth now, beloved. We're not going fisticuffs with the devil. We're taking the Word of God. We're taking the sword of the Spirit. We're taking our shield of faith. The Bible says that he called people. But then I want you to see finally in this chapter, we see him cleansing. Now I like this because I need this. And so with all I've said, isn't it good we're all here saying, wow, it got real. The demons were there. I love hearing about the demons because I forget about them. And we don't always recognize them. What was going on there? Suddenly they're gone. They're not allowed to show themselves. But what we see is in verses 29 and following, his cleansing. It says, forthwith, after they left the synagogue, they went into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother lay sick. That's his mother-in-law. He was married, for every Catholic out there. He was married. So it says that his mother-in-law was sick, and the Bible says, anon, they tell him of her at once or at that moment. Now, I don't know why Peter told him, but as soon as they walked in the door, maybe he was excited. Maybe he knew enough to know he could heal her. But you know, she's sick. And maybe she was embarrassed. And begged, please, don't tell him, you know, or whatever. But he right away was told, and the Bible says, that when he went in to her, in verse 31, it says, and he came and he took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever, and this is a very hard fever, this is a heavy fever. If she's the mother-in-law, she might have been sick unto death. You ever think about it, when people die, sometimes that's the final thing. They start having fevers and things start getting really real. So she's the mother-in-law. Maybe she was sick and thinking, this is my time. And she's kind of begged out of every service, every kind of thing. And what do you do when you're on your deathbed? I think you do an inventory. Who didn't I ask for forgiveness from? Who did I hurt? Is he going to receive me? Well, when I see her fever immediately leaving her, the Bible says, and she ministered unto them. I don't know why it says that, because that's all we know about her, but I know this, that if you get put out of the game, and you think you're down for the count, and Jesus touches you, and you're back up, You might think, I'm going to get back in the game more than ever. She went right to serving. You know, the world of a woman is oftentimes serving. And I often try to buffer that for the way it sounds and feels by telling you the Bible says, he that is greatest among you will be servant of all. So if you're called upon to bear with and endure and be a mom and the kids and you're beautiful, but there's children and they're smearing your dress or they're throwing up on your shirt and you're trying to get pretty for your husband who's coming home and he comes home and he didn't even notice. And life is hard. But he that is greatest among you will be servant of all. She got up and ministered. That's my point. I see a devotional thought there. So it says, she ministered. That's all we know about her. She just went to work. Say, what can I do? Can I be a blessing? Because women, they know viscerally and intuitively that they can encourage with just a smile. Lift up with just a little word or a little gift, maybe a little food in a certain way. Well, the Bible says she began to minister, and I thought that was worth our attention. But again, what is she? She's somewhat cleansed from her dis-ease. She was not at ease. She was in dis-ease. And that's going to come up over and over again. So we could say that's part of the cleansing. But notice it goes on to say in verse 32, and at evening the sun set, and all that were diseased were brought unto him. There it is, the diseased. And the possessed with devils. So there were a bunch of them. It wasn't one or two. This was a chronic thing, and everybody recognized it. In our day, we don't recognize it. We have a pill for that. I'm telling you guys, we need to go back and revisit our view of what is really going on in some people, especially those who were believers who have kind of frustrated and aggravated their circumstance. You see what I'm saying? If a child of God continues to kick against the goads of God's promptings, and they can, they're going to have a lot of drama in their head. Just saying. So we need to be careful about that. Many came, they recognized it for what it was. Verse 34 says, and he healed them. And verse 35 says, he's out praying. Simon came, says, everybody's seeking for you in verse 37. And he says, well, we can't stay here. We need to go to all the towns in verse 38. Now, as he's on his way, verse 40 says, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, you can make me clean. Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and, listen, he touched him. And the Bible says, when he touched him, he said, I will. Be thou clean. Now, the amazing thing is that he touched him at all. My daughter-in-law is a nurse, and some of you all have had that experience. Sometimes you have to touch people who are kind of hard to stomach. It's bad. It's gross. Jesus did not flinch. Jesus what? He touched him. Why? Because Jesus had compassion on him. Now, the reason this is significant is because this is an emblem of sin. Their leprosy is emblematic of sin. Do you see that sometimes, that there's this thing that just clings to you? Did you see it at the door when you came to Christ, that your sin was overcoming you? That your sin was getting the better of you? That the entire experience of your life was one that could cost you your life? That was alienating you from people around you? That was making everything you touched corrupted because you were overcome by the disease that is sin? You see, leprosy became known as emblematic of sin. But Jesus had compassion. And I'm thankful that when my sin was all but overcoming me, he touched me. And he cleansed me. Because that's what he does. He says, I will, be thou clean. And verse 42 says, as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And good to know. Jesus can cleanse you of your sin. I'm so glad that's true. I was reading a devotional this past week that really was delighting my heart because it was focused on this very issue. If you would put in your margin beside this, for future reference, it will be a blessing to your heart. It will not be in your study Bible because it's not typically going to be connected here. But it's Leviticus 13, verse 13. I'll read it for you and you can look it up later. The Bible's telling the priest how to behave toward leprosy. It says, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy has covered all of his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean. He's completely overwhelmed by leprosy. He says if it's covered all of his flesh, he'll pronounce him clean. Now it goes on to say, pronounce him clean, that hath the plague, it is all turned white, he is clean. The writer of the devotional pointed out some things to note about this leprosy problem, which is emblematic of sin by all scholars pretty much agreeing upon it, is that the first thing to note is that this guy is completely overwhelmed by sin, but he's still standing. He's still alive. So he has something strong in his constitution. So there's something there. Do you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of how people go through life and they get hit. Life is hard. They're sinners. They're great sinners. But they still somehow have a conscience toward God. You ever met somebody like that? Pretty amazing. Still have a conscience toward God. I've been in prisons where guys are like that. And not very many times, but there's guys in prison. They've messed their lives up. And big old brute guy in the prison. You can imagine him grabbing a little guy who's talking smack about God, as they say. You knock that off. Smacking them upside the head. Because they still, for some reason, still have a conscience toward God. That's amazing because sin deadens the conscience, but there's still a conscience, and this guy's still standing. The other thing is to notice this man has come to the priest with this problem. I mean, he's still walking around. He's like all leprous. He's alienated, but he comes to the priest. I mean, at this point, why even go? I've heard people say, if I walked into the church, it would fall down, man. You don't know what a wicked sinner I am. But this guy went. He went. Do you know what Jesus is? He's in the cleansing business. If we could just convince the guy who still has a conscience, the guy who still has a strong enough constitution and still has a little bit of wits about him to know Jesus is still Jesus and God and he can save, and people have talked about it all my life. If he would just present himself to the high priest Jesus, he would be pronounced clean. I don't care how far you've gone and I don't care what you've done, because the reality is we're all great sinners. And that was the other thing. His confession was not just coming, but he confessed, I'm a great sinner. Paul said, this is a statement worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. When you realize your whole person is covered in sin because every molecule is corrupted by the behaviors that you and I do, that's a good starting place. The sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. You see, you and I have to recognize, I'm not better than anybody. I'm just a fellow struggler, and I think that we lose that in our prosperity. Because we can take a pill, or we can turn on a show, or we can turn up the music, or we can get some ice cream, or pie, or cake, or whatever it takes. We can dull our sense, and we can soothe ourselves. But if you will allow yourself to recognize that sin completely disqualifies us, completely hurts people around us, completely disqualifies us from any usefulness to God, and come in humility and strike ourselves on the breast and say with the publican, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Then we will have touched the hem of his garment, and he will say, be thou clean. This is the beginning of the gospel. What was the gospel? The remission of sin. The remission of sins. Jesus the King came to make that possible. It's clear. We've pulled the telescope into clarity. Here it is. Jesus is the King. Jesus calls. Jesus cleanses. As a believer, don't you want that? Don't you want your feet washed? Because now they're dirty. Because you're clean whole. But your feet get dirty. If you're a lost person today, don't you want to be clean? Jesus can do that. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming, and we'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.